going to open our Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And sometimes in the college, sometimes they left you that you can pick your own passage to preach. And other times they give you a passage to preach. And the third year, they give you a big series, and they teach you preach in series, chapter by chapter. And I have to say that it was something difficult. And I have to say that I revised my preaching, and I preach here in Lubricland the first and third, and that is going to be the fourth. I don't know why I don't preach the second. And today we're going to, with the help of the Lord, we're going to meditate in this chapter 18. And then here is speaking about the character of David. And if you go, when you have time, and you can see from chapter 15, we can see the contrast between the life of Saul and the life of David. Okay? And now we are here in this chapter 18. And history reveals that it is not always safe to live in company of kings. Cleitos was one of the Alexander the Great leading generals and commander. In one war, the king was disarmed by his enemies, and Cleitos saved Alexander's life. A few years later, Alexander had conquered the Persian Empire. And during one drinking party that were really normal in these times, in Alexander's tent, two men were drunk, and they were hurling several insults at the king. Then friends separated the two men, but when Cleitos returned to give Alexander one last piece of his mind, the young conqueror grasped his spear and killed the general. When the drinking feast was over, Alexander was filled with remorse, and the army was filled with horror. And David here was in the presence of the king. And this king hated him and was a really bad man in this point. One of the best things, more important in this passage, is the care God had of David. A king had a lot of possibilities to kill a servant, directly or indirectly. And Saul was the king. He could have done whatever he wanted. God had a purpose for the life of David, like God has a purpose for our lives. God will look after us in this life until he decides the best for us, until he takes us with him. And the things we can see here in this chapter is going to be shown that in every time more grew far away from the Lord, and David every time grew closer to the Lord. The first attempt at killing David having failed, Saul tried now a different tactic. David was removed from the protection of the royal residence and was sent to lead Saul's forces in battle. David was at risk, a good moment to attack him. And that is the way to think of the evils. That was the way of think of Saul. Saul offered his daughter twice. First, to the person who killed Goliath, and you have this in chapter 17, and second, to David again. But Saul didn't keep his word. And that is also is other characteristic of the evil persons. They don't keep their word. In all the history of the church, we find a lot of these bad people. Even Laban, for example, he did similar thing with Jacob when he offers Rachel to him. Also, Stephen Phillips, the man who betrayed William Tyndale. And this man did something really similar like King Saul. Saul saw that he was friend of David. But he only was waiting the right moment to attack. In the case of Saul and David, God was protecting David from Saul. In the case of William Tyndale, you know the history, God left that Tyndale was captured and finally killed for his faith. And we learn here different things. First, that the plan of the evil people doesn't work sometimes because they are very intelligent or wise. No. It's working because God in his providence wants. The Christian must be conformed to the trials of this life, knowing that God knows where he is, and all is in his hands, and work for the good of his children. The bad attitude for Saul was against him. If you see in the verse 20, Michal, his daughter, loved David. When Saul proposed to David his proof for Michal, Saul was thinking two things. The first thing is that the Philistines could do the job to kill David. And second, Michal could have been a snare to David. She could motivate David to place his life at extreme risk in battle with the Philistines. And she could corrupt David spiritually. The term translated here is very interesting. As a snare, is a theologically significant one, used three times in the Torah to describe the danger of idols and its worshippers. Saul told David three times by his servants to be shown in the law of the king. The king is pleased with you, they told him. And the third time Saul proposed David, told him the price. 100 Philistines for his king, after all, implies 100 Philistine deaths. And David again will be looked upon the eyes of the people in this moment like a warrior. And he will have to fight against the Philistines in the future and help Saul. After David keep with the price, Saul had no choice but to give David his daughter Michal in marriage. Again, we see Saul was astonished of David did. Saul knew that the Lord was with David. And that is very important because the author of the book wants that we know that we'll be capable to see this. And you have this in verse 28. And that situation provokes more fear in Saul. And we can see similar things in the intentions of Saul and the bad intentions of David when David was king and killed Uriah. For the king was very easy to kill a man. What was the difference? Well, the difference was that God had in control all things. And even in the sin that David committed against Uriah, God looked after David. But that doesn't mean that the Lord approved what David did. David paid a consequence of this sin. And we can see this truly repentance in Psalm 51. Also, the Lord was against David's marriage with other women. Some people today try to say that God permits marriage with other women in those times. But that is not true. In fact, the woman brings to David a bad consequence for all his life. Never will be peace in the kingdom of David. We can think that David, in the case of Uriah, was a lot worse than King Saul. Because after all, King Saul tried and wanted to kill David. But David, first, commit adultery. Second, kill Uriah. And third, marriage with Bathsheba when he had one wife. But David was forgotten because he was a child of God. Not because he was very just. And we need to ask ourselves, how is God looking at our good works? If you will see a bad painting in a show window, you never will pay £50 for it and put in the painting in your living room, in your house. But if you knew that your 4-year-old son painted that would be more value for you of £50. And you will put that painting in your living room. And that is the way that God is looking at our good works. Because our good works, they are nothing. Come with me and look in Isaiah 64, verse 6. I'm sure that you know this verse. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, as we all do fade as leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Then our good works only are good before the eyes of God, because the Lord is looking at us through the justice of Christ. David was looking also through the justice of Christ. And that is why God accepts his good works. An additional cause of Saul's alarm was the knowledge that the Lord had departed from him. And therefore Saul was losing strength of mind and courage, wisdom and prudence. If you come in Psalm 73, verse 28, we find this verse, and they say, but it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. For the Christian, always, it is necessary to be close to God. In good moments and in bad moments, when we laugh, when we cry. When the man don't have God in his life, is walking with no direction. Saul was in this position. He didn't have the Lord with him. And he wanted to resolve the theme of David with his own understanding. Evil and wicked. For the Christians, it's also possible to fall in these conditions sometimes. And we need to remember what happened with the Galatians. We remember that Paul said that they were running well. But we never, for the Christian, it's also possible to fall in these conditions. For the Christian, it is never the answer to go away from the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, for without me, ye can do nothing. We can do nothing if we are not in Christ. In Psalm 55, verse 21, describes Saul's behavior. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet where they draw source. The words of have something of that in our hearts. is that we are not peace with God. Not only murder, like Saul, other things can be in our hearts. And other things are in our hearts. Envy, jealousy. We need to keep our hearts. Remember the Mark 7, verse 21 to 23 say, "For from with him out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, fallenness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And we can see a lot of these things in the behavior of Saul. And that things that we have here is for we will be capable to learn these things. The second point is David, every time, grow closer to the Lord. David, who was a warrior for the Lord, was not troubled by the stipulations in the king's agreement. He will fight in behalf of his God with or without the opportunity to win a royal bride. That wasn't important for David. And you can find that in verse 18. But David refused this. He had all that thing in his mind. He was thinking in the glory of the Lord for his life. But not for the glory of the Lord for the future. He was thinking in the glory of the Lord for his life in the present. We have a Spanish sentence that say, I don't know that is the same translated in English, that say that the garden is always greener in the other side of the fence. I don't know if you have this, I think that is the translation. And sometimes Christians are living like that. They think that they will go to the university, maybe they are waiting for a new job, or a house, or a wife, and the life is going, and they never are happy. And even maybe some of them will have something they dreamed of before, and then they started to look for other things they didn't have. Dream. Who doesn't dream? The dream of every boy that playing football in Spain is to be a professional. And I remember really well that was my dream when I was young. And I have to say that the Lord gave me this dream, and I was a professional with 18 years old. But I will have the opportunity, I never thought that I would have the opportunity to play for Spain, for the national team, because Spain was champion of Europe and wasn't reason to change players. And I remember really well the day that I reached my dream. I was Christian. And I can tell you a lot of things about that, about the good that is dress yourself, to hear the aim of your own country. But I, today, after 17 years, all has gone. And the best thing that I remember is that the Lord was with me that day. Dreams in the life of a Christian can be good. But for every Christian, God always should be in the dream of the Christian. As Christians, we can't separate God from our dreams. Why? Because He is our best dream. He is our joy. In Psalm 73, verse 25, we can read, "Who have I in heaven but thee? And there is not upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Can you say these words in this evening? Are you living in present for the glory of the Lord? We have here the example of David. And he was not thinking in possession, in to be important. He was living for the glory of the Lord. And that is the best thing we can do. That is the best thing you can do with your life. David was happy to give glory to God. The same way that our Lord, who was happy to fulfill the will of his Father. When Saul didn't keep his promise, David could have said something to him. Merab was given in marriage to Adriel Meholahite, and you have this in verse 19. And this union produced 5 sons who were later killed by the Gibeonites, and you can find that in 2 Samuel 21 verses 8 and 9. And that was the result of Saul's sin. And we can learn here that Saul was sitting in the throne of Israel. Yes, he was. But in the throne of all the universe is sitting God. It's God who rules, not any man, nation, or power. Our lives are sure because we are graven upon the palms of God. That's say in Isaiah 49 verse 16. And David knew that God will do all the things, and it's something really good for us. The Lord will do all that he wants with you. He will complete his work in you. David only receives what is given to him. David has received submission from Jonathan, Saul heir apparent. He is married to the king's daughter who loves him, which gives him legitimacy. David is the hero of the public. And the narrator, in his careful and discerning way, wants us to see at least as much as Saul sees. The same way we can see that God always fulfills his will, that is a wonderful warranty for us. We are in the safest place, in his hands, in his will. Several aspects of the careful balance of rhetoric in chapter 18 warrant our attention. In verse 5, 15 and 30, the narrative, it is affirmed that David was successfully in everything. And in verse 12 and 14, say that the Lord was with him. In the chapter, we can see David didn't take any revenge against Saul. His character always is good. Never show any ambition in this period of his life. And that was the life of David. When we can study the character of David from chapter 15, in advance, when any people in Israel know him, we can see always what was his character. The type of David, like Christ, make us think that Christ never take revenge of his enemies in his life. Even when we remember in John 18, Marcus, who came to arrest Jesus, was healed by the Lord after Peter used his sword against him. Finally, the understanding of this passage is the progression of the Word of God. Michael and Jonathan, the people of Israel, love David. And we can imagine the face of surprise of Saul when he asked David 100 foreign kings of the Philistines, and David came back with 200. You have this in verse 27. God departed of Saul in chapter 15. And in every chapter, we can see that Saul's sin was every time bigger against God. That is the way of those that don't love the Lord and submit to His will. Every time they will be farther from Him. Not only in this life, but in hell also. Because hell is the total separation of God. Do you really want this separation from all eternity? In a place where the wrath of God is present all the time, with no opportunity to change that. On the other side, we have the progression of the life of David. In these four chapters, every time more close to God, suffering sometimes, with problems sometimes, persecution, but with one direction in his life, the glory of God. Have you this direction in your life? The glory of the Lord. Have you, Christian, this view in your life? Is the Lord your main point in this life? In Christ we are complete. And that was David. That was Christ. All glory to God. Amen.